It's Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess. And on a gorgeous night in East Rutherford, New Jersey, a look at MetLife Stadium across the parking lot from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. It's Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. Hello again, everyone. So glad you can join us. Bob Papa with former Giant great Howard Cross. Over the next half hour, we'll get you set for the Giants' last meaningful preseason game against the Jets coming up on Friday night. And take a look at this football team. And Howard, a little sense of urgency here with for the Giants, their fourth preseason game. But this is that final dress rehearsal.
Well, this is really the big dress rehearsal. This is when the starters get about three quarters and everybody else starts. They basically get mixed guys in. What's going to happen is we hope that this offense is going to come alive, that the offensive line is going to get together, that the receivers are going to compete for the ball when it's in the air. We hope that this is going to happen.
Yeah, and coming up over the next half hour, we're going to hear from Will Beattie. He'll join us, and we'll talk a little bit about his comeback from his injury. And speaking of injuries, let's take a look at the Giants injury report as the Giants get ready for this game against the Jets on Friday. And, you know, the New York Giants, again, have been dealing with some injuries. Prince Amukamara out with that groin. Trindon Holliday worked yesterday, still bothered by the hamstring. Peyton Hillis out with that ankle. J'Ron Holsey's got the foot problem. Odell Beckham Jr. didn't work today with the hamstring. James Brewer, the back injury from the other night. Cooper Taylor with the foot injury. Charles Brown with a shoulder. And, of course, John Beeson with the foot injury. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. did not participate in practice today after participating in practice yesterday. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin was asked if there was any re-aggravation of that hamstring injury.
He was sore this morning after what you people saw it before I even did. I didn't even realize he had, because the last play, one of the last plays of practice yesterday, he caught a pass and ran down the sideline. He looked pretty darn good. But he evidently was sore this morning, and they don't feel like it's a re-injury, but they're going to continue to be cautious if that's what it takes, and hopefully we'll, they're saying no setback. That's kind of where we are on it, but other than that, I have nothing for you.
Well, we take a look at Odell Beckham Jr., and he spoke later in the day to Giants.com. We have progressively built up my workload. I was sore this morning, and I didn't work today because we didn't want a setback, and I don't consider this a setback. I see it as another step in getting back to full strength. So Howard Cross, he's been ruled out of the game on Friday night against the Jets. How much, obviously, is this hurting the rookie, and does this put his effectiveness for the team in the regular season at jeopardy, at least early?
Well, I don't know how much he's learned. Let's put it like that. You can study all you want to, looking at tape. You can read your plays. You can do everything you're supposed to do the entire time. But what you really have to do is actually put it into action and execute it. Not seeing live action, not seeing guys flying at you, not being able to look in the eyes of the defender, to see the quarterbacks, you know, see exactly what the quarterback's seeing when you're running your route. It's a toss-up. I mean, maybe he's just so gifted that he'll be able to do it. He'll just run deep every time, but you got to know something.
On the flip side, too, for quarterback Eli Manning, he wants to get a sense of how the player runs the routes, and not just, you know, in practice, but when you're going against live defense. So, you know, from Eli's standpoint, he'd like to see him out there so he can get that timing down with him.
Well, yes, you know, you got the West Coast offense, you got a lot of crossing patterns, a lot of timing issues, and Odell's got, and also spacing issues, knowing exactly where you need to be on the field when the ball's coming out. So he's got a lot to learn and to, you know, put together in his mind before the season.
Yeah, well, sense of urgency is also a factor here for the Giants, and Coach Coughlin talked about the importance of practicing and getting things done.
I think the idea of them practicing with purpose, you know, and realizing what an excellent opportunity this is, because when you win a game and the ones play like that, I mean, and you come back out on the field and everyone understands that it wasn't the way it should be, I think there'll be, hopefully there's great incentive and, you know, and a sense of urgency about we're running out of time here for us to play well.
And Howard, they really are running out of time. The practice days are dwindling away with the game on Friday. You know, the Giants will work again this week. And then next week is a compressed week because the preseason game against the Patriots is on a Thursday night. Did you get a sense, at least from the first unit, that, look, we've got to kind of get things going here and ramp things up because they didn't have a good showing offensively the other night?
Well, they should watch this because I'm going to say something they're probably not going to want to hear. No, I didn't get that. I didn't get the idea that there was a lot of fight, or a lot of competing for the ball kind of moment. I wanted to see more aggressiveness from that offensive line, and, you know, stop the chirping of the defense, get after them a little bit more, have a little more, you know, something to get you going. And it just wasn't that way. It's kind of like bump, bump, stop, bump, bump, stop. You can't play with a couple knocks to stop. You got to drive your feet. You got to get your butt down. You got to get your head up. You got to get guys out of the hole. And, like, when you get knocked down, it should aggravate you. If they're making plays on your back, it should aggravate you. If they're touching your quarterback, it should aggravate you. That's what I'm looking for, that agitation to get you going, to get that, you know, that football thing. Just didn't see it.
All right, and it's not necessarily about fighting in practice.
No.
But it's about sort of pushing back a little bit.
It's the attitude. You can see an attitude in a player. When a player's on the field, you know it. Like the greatest examples, when you watch guys like LT back in the day, you knew his attitude was like, oh, my God, like, what are we going to do with this guy for the whole day? And today's players, we want to see some of that kind of dog in them, that toughness in them. You know, Antrell Rose says, you know, I want to find another dog in the fight. You know, so it's – you need to see that out of guys, and they need to know that, hey, look, all jokes aside, you got a few days of practice. You got to do something to get the coaches to notice you, to get the GM to notice you, to make somebody say, hey, look, maybe we ought to give that guy one more look before the end of the week. Because I don't know if they realize it or not, but it's going to be a big cut after this game.
Yeah, one guy who showed a lot of fight right from his rookie snap was Justin Pugh, the Giants' first-round draft pick last year, and he talked about the offensive line and how it should all sort itself out.
The way we are is the best five guys are going to go out there. I don't think there's a set five right now that you can say, hey, these are the five guys that we're going to have. I mean, if you're not playing well enough and someone behind you is playing better, they should get the opportunity to play.
All right, Howard, your reaction to Justin Pugh's comment.
Justin Pugh just basically said, we do not have starters on this front five. We're looking for starters. And whoever is in that position now, you should be nervous, because the best five guys, when they line up to play against Detroit on Monday night, it's going to be that five.
How hard is it for the offensive line to gel? How much time does it need together?
I think that whole gelling thing is something that we did in the media of trying to create that moment. I think it's more about guys having an attitude and wanting to get after their guy. If you start to get after a guy and I can count on you and depend on you to get your guy, I know I can do my job.
All right, that leads us to tonight's Twitter question, as we like to take Twitter questions here on Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess. And the question comes from @WickedKnuckles. Where do you see Weston Richburg landing on this O-line?
Well, eventually he will work his way into center. But right now, if he gets a chance, he'll either be the right or left guard, depending on, you know, if someone's banged up or if someone needs a rest or something. That's where he's going to wind up.
And one of the really good things for Weston Richburg so far during this training camp and in this preseason is he's been used at multiple positions, whether it's left guard, right guard, center in the two-minute offense late in the game. So he's getting valuable experience. Another guy the Giants will be leaning on is Will Beatty. He was injured at the end of last season, got his first action in the preseason game the other night. We'll sit down and talk with the Giants starting left tackle as we continue with Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG Plus. Welcome back to Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG Plus, and we are joined by Giants starting left tackle, Will Beatty. And Will, talk about the work that you've had to do to come back from this injury at the end of last season.
It's been a pretty exciting offseason for me. I mean, just spending every day in some type of rehab program and conditioning. Just knowing that the coaching staff, the ownership, the fans, yes, I was injured last year, but we want to put last year behind us. So they wanted it to start anew. They wanted to have the O-line set for the first game, making sure I got in there through camp. So the rehab has been the entire offseason. Wasn't really an offseason for me. More of a conditioning, a mental preparation for this year. But I believe it paid off. I mean, I'm blessed to be out here, to be running with the ones again. Last week was my first game. There's still two more games to go before the season kicks off, and I'm just looking forward to improving so I can be back 100%.
How'd you feel out there on Saturday night in Indianapolis? Because you had been practicing, but practice and game are two different things. How did you feel you came out of it?
We started off kind of slow as an offense, just not putting points on the board, but that in itself kind of wears on you. But just getting out there, running around, making hits, putting your shoulder on people, it's like, you know why you did all that work to come back. Like, this paid off. And it's just that affirmation that, okay, what I did was worth it. At just some points in time when you're like, I'm tired, you don't know how your body's going to respond, you don't know how your knee's going to respond, but just that first game, getting it out of your system, getting that few hits in, you're like, this is what I love to do.
All right, so you get that out of the way. Let's fast forward here to the start of training camp. Chris Snee announces his retirement. Your new deal was gone at the end of last year. You are now the elder statesman. You're the guy that, you know, kind of has the torch from some of those other teams that have won Super Bowls. What's it like to be the leader now of the group?
I mean, from day one, breaking up that starting five for so many games, they were molding me for this position. They knew I was coming in, and they had their moment. So it was Snee, it was O'Hara, with all those guys talking to me like, okay, yes, you're young, but getting here. And they were making sure that I knew what John Mara and the organization expected from the offensive line, from history, from this is what we do. So now when it's my turn to be there, they expecting the same thing. They're still coming back here, making sure that it's the way it should be run, not, okay, we're gone, now it's a whole new group of people, and it's going to be a new offense, a new unit, things are run. Yes, we have different plays, but that mentality, that hard-nosed football is still there.
Is that fun for you, and do you feel a little bit of pressure having to carry sort of that torch for the past regime?
I don't feel any pressure. I feel blessed to be in this position, so it's not pressure. The expectations are great, but the payoff is so much more.
Well, good luck on Friday night against the Jets, and we appreciate a couple minutes, and we'll talk to you during the season.
Thank you. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
That's Will Beattie joining us here on the program. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to dial into the Giants wide receivers. Howard Cross rejoins me as we continue with Giants training camp live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+.
It's time for our top moments of the day.
Rookie Devon Kennard, fifth round pick out of USC, with an interception of Eli Manning. Curtis Painter going up top. Here's Corey Washington with a nice grab. Meanwhile, Zach Bowman got a knack for the football with a nice interception there. And Ryan Nassib hitting Julian Talley late in practice. Nice little one-handed catch as we welcome you back to Giants training camp live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. What about that battle between the Giants corners and wide receivers on a daily basis?
You know, it's one of those things you think about when you hear all these penalties and see all these flags thrown in the game. You're wondering, what are they doing in practice and how they're getting around it? I see a lot of contact in practice because they're just getting used to playing and thinking, when it happens, the receivers kind of let up sometimes just to say, like, hey, look, that's a penalty. They're going to stop calling that later on when the season starts, I believe, because there's no way that the NFL is going to let that be their big moment of, hey, look, we're going to throw a flag every time there's contact. They got too much money invested in fantasy advertisement and all this other stuff for that to happen. So I see it going on. You know, you gotta find a way not to have that contact. The DBs are doing it. The receivers are doing it. The receivers got to get a little bit more of that fight in.
All right, one of the things that the Giants are looking for is big plays down the field. Who will step up as one of the starters? Jarrell Jernigan finished 2013 very strong. Giants head coach Tom Coughlin was asked yesterday if he's seen Jernigan pick up from where he left off at the end of last season.
Not necessarily. You know,
He's had days when he's done very well, and he's had days when he hasn't. And, you know, I don't mind saying the other night, if he did run by the defender, if he'd have caught that ball, it certainly would have helped us. So that's a continuous battle right now to sort that thing out. And who's going to be the playmakers? Who are they?
Who are going to be the Giants' playmakers? First, a little on Jarrell Jernigan, Howard, as far as you saw him make a couple catches in the first preseason game, but is there that consistency that you're looking for?
I don't know if there's consistency or not. I think it needs to be more of an overwhelming moment. I think he needs to make a big statement. You got to think about it. You know, with Cruz on one side and Ruben Randall on the other, there are a ton of guys who want to be that third receiver. And they're not just going to be the third receiver. They're going to play specials, too. Jernigan doesn't play specials, not that I know of. Maybe he tries to do returns. Well, not really, but he's out there, but he's not covering. So you got to be a big contributor. So he's got to do something great.
Well, Coach Coughlin always talks about guys that can make plays above the X's and O's because, look, in the NFL, at sometimes you got to get that 50-50 ball when it's in the air. And, you know, Howard, we take a look at the receiving group, and, you know, a guy like Corey Washington has been a guy that's played above the X's and O's, not only in these preseason games, as we've seen, but also out on this practice field throughout training camp.
Washington has made some plays, but let's go back to what Coach Coughlin said. He goes, I want to know who my playmakers are going to be. He didn't say outside of Victor Cruz. He didn't say outside of Odell Beckham. He said, I want to know who's going to be my playmakers. So I would play that clip to the receivers and the tight ends just to let them know Coach Coughlin is saying it out loud. He wants to know who his playmakers are going to be. And Washington is a guy who, without knowing Coach Coughlin or knowing that Coach Coughlin is having this conversation, he's trying to make the team. He's fighting and competing for every ball.
Yeah, and then it comes down to what you can do on special teams as well. What about a guy like Ruben Randall? Last year during training camp, Randall was very impressive out on the practice field, made a lot of big-time plays. This year, not really asserting himself as much, and they need somebody on the opposite side of Victor Cruz.
Well, they need both guys to actually step up. Victor himself needs to step up to be a true number one. Ruben Randall needs to step up and make some plays. And I think the big thing here is that both guys have to, you know, get away from I'm the starter and go into it as like, look, I could be cut or I really need to work harder just to make sure these other guys, I can hold these other guys off. Because in this league, we know that a guy can come in that you didn't know, Victor Cruz being a perfect example, and win a spot on a team, and all of a sudden you're watching him and wondering why this guy is playing and why they're not offering you more money and your time's running out.
What are some of the things that, for instance, a guy like Randall needs to do to get that game to that next level?
He needs to compete. He needs to get a little bit more of that fight that he had before when he was, you know, behind Hakeem Nicks, behind Victor Cruz, when he was a draft pick and not really sure what his future may have been. He knew he was a high draft pick, but there was no real stamp on his future. And he wasn't a number one or a first-round pick because there was questions about his game, questions about his character maybe, questions about his abilities. So he dropped down a slot or two. He had something to prove. He needs to go back in and keep that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, another guy, Marcus Harris, has been given opportunities so far in the preseason. He's made the most of some of his opportunities, and he's a guy that also can contribute on special teams. And then you have a veteran like Mario Manningham, who's trying to come back from those knee injuries. And then Trindon Holliday, who was brought in as a return ace and who can also play receiver. He's been out almost all of training camp with hamstring injuries, so it's really hard for the coaches to get any type of evaluation. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here on the program, we're going to take a look at some highlights from the Giants' come-from-behind victory on Saturday night against the Indianapolis Colts with our sights and sounds as we continue with Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. The Quest Diagnostics Training Center, as we welcome you back to Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess here on MSG+. Giants 3-0 in the preseason. Here are the sights and sounds of the Giants' come-from-behind win in Indianapolis.
Bring it in. Hey, y'all, man. Let's be great today. Yeah. Whenever we're wearing these blue jerseys, I don't care where we at. We home, baby. Uh-huh. We got to make it home. You feel me? Every time we get our hands on that ball, let's be great. Let's show them how great we are each and every time. Each and every one of y'all. I love y'all to death.
Yo, John, have some fun out there, baby. Have some fun. Have some fun today. Have some fun. fun. Make some plays. Let's go, baby.
Hey, you know what they clocked me at the 40 at the combine? 4.7. Yeah, all right.
We see ball.
Give ball.
See ball.
Give ball.
See ball.
Give ball.
See ball.
Give ball.
Out of the gun now, Painter again. Takes the snap. Short drop. Throws a fade. Back right corner for Davis. A leaping grab is good and a touchdown. Kellen Davis, the tight end, of the back right corner of the end zone. And the Giants have scored for the first time tonight.
A little late, but we got one.
Yeah, if you get bookended right now, okay, work everything in a hurry backside. We can't do that now.
Yeah.
All right, keep your eyes on the linebacker. All right, let's go, man. Let's go.
On the first down, handoff to Tanner. Ball loose. Giants recover near the goal line. Now there's a pile on the goal line. It is called a touchdown. The Giants score a defensive touchdown. First and goal from the 4. Giants with 59 seconds to go. They're out of timeouts. They trail by 5. Nassib out of the gun. Takes the snap. Looking right. The fade for Washington. Leaps. Grabs it. Touchdown. Giants take the lead. Wow. They've come back from 26-0 down to take the lead with 55 seconds to go.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, are you going home?
Boy,
he was going off, dog.
64-yard attempt to try and give the Colts the lead. Snap, spot, kick on the way. It's going to be close, and it is no good. Just wide to the left, and the Giants celebrate on the far sideline. What a terrific win for these guys way down to the depth chart. And your final here in Indianapolis, the Giants 27 and the Colts 26.
All right, listen, man. Listen, here's where we said at halftime. We'll find out how much we love football this second half. Would have been easy to go crawl in a hole. And it took forever to get something going. But you never say die. And you keep fighting. And you keep fighting. And all of a sudden something good happens. And you start thinking you can do it. And you can do it. And you must believe. Now, we're also realists. Okay? We're also realists. We got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do to get to where we want to be. But that kind of spark can carry you because you know the heart is there. The heart is there. We got a good solid week of practice now this week. We got to bust our ass and we got to get it right with our first and second groups. And we got to go ahead and be a better football team next week when we play the Jets now. A hell of a lot better team than what we started almost the end of three quarters here tonight. Congratulations to the guys that hung in there. Got it done in the end of the third and the fourth quarter. That's a lot of guts and a lot of courage to come back and win a game like that. So congratulations for the win. Let's be realistic about looking in the mirror and knowing what we have to do. Let's get a team. 1, 2, 3.
Team!
Howard, Coach mentioned the Jets game. It always has a little more juice. What are you looking for out of the Giants in that game?
Well, I'm looking for a part of what Coach just did with his mixed message. He's looking for a bunch from the first group, and he's looking for the same thing from that second group that gets in the game. The first group's been needing work the whole season, especially offensively. The defensive line needs to get some sacks. They got to get a lot going on.
And for a lot of guys, this could be the final time that they play in a football game because the first cuts are coming on the weekend. That wraps it up for tonight's show. Make sure you join us again tomorrow night at 6 p.m. right here on MSG+. We'll bring you another edition of Giants Training Camp Live, fueled by Hess. Good night, everyone. NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster, the official resale marketplace where fans buy and sell Giants tickets.